The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, girls and boys.
I forgot what I was going to say. Hey, girls. Hey, RuPaul.
I forgot where it was. Hi, all. I'm Richie Swan, and I'm with Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird. And together we are a girl and a gay in the gym.
So this week we are talking about diets. We're going to go into a little bit more detail into about different types of diets, like the most common ones that we find, and also talk about the pros and cons and give you our little gym beard rating. Gym beard. And give you our little gay gay gym rating.
Did you try to rub it all to yourself?
No.
Gym beard rating. See you later. I've only come to talk about Love Island anyway.
So, the first one we thought we'd have a little nose at is intermittent fasting. It's also known as the 5-2 diet. So, you can do intermittent fasting two ways. The 5-2 diet is
where... Is that like when you got all your sweets and you go, 5 for me, 2 for them?
That's what me and you are like. So, a 5-2 would be like 5 days of the week you eat calorie control, but not in any type of a deficit. So, you just eat like maybe maintenance. And then 2 days of the week, you drastically drop your calories. On average, it's like 500-700 calories over that whole day, which is a massive, massive deficit. That's just your way of creating your calorie deficit over the week. So 5 of the days, you get to kind of live normally maybe and not feel like you're on a diet, whereas 2 days, you are fasting.
Okay.
Usually, if you do the other method, which is probably the more common one nowadays, it's where you only eat within a certain window yeah. in the day. So some people can do their...
Like 16-8.
Yeah, so a 16-8 would be where you'd fast for 16 hours and eat, allow yourself to eat for 8 hours. Some people only do a 6-hour window, but that's not as recommended. I did that one actually for my wedding. I only ate between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. and it did actually work quite well for me. Pros to it are it's set rules. So if you... find it easy to stick to a routine, if you know that you cannot have a single thing outside of those time zones, it sometimes is a little bit easier because sometimes it's you don't just have that one crisp, you pick that one crisp and then before you know it you've had the bag. Do you know what I mean? So it cuts out allowing yourself any like leniency to kind of binge at all. And there's loads of studies about it as well. And there's loads that have shown links to greater reductions in body fat, insulin resistance, and other chronic diseases. Cons of it are there is a little bit of a risk that, so say you do your window of eating time. Okay, so are you still calorie counting in that time? Do you know what I mean? Because you could only eat for 8 hours of the day, but during that 8 hours...
You still get 4,000 calories in. Exactly. It's going to be pointless.
And then on your days that you're not fasting, if you do it like a 5-2, are you binging on those days? Are you still tracking your calories?
So at the end of the day, it's exactly what we say. You've still got to be at a deficit and you've still got to count your calories.
Yeah, definitely. I think because I like intermittent fasting because I think it's a really good way to stop your binging, especially at night.
I just think the fasting works because you're eating in less hours, of course it is. You're taking, you're slicing like 5-6 hours off your day if you're not eating for them 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. Most people are just skipping a meal, aren't they?
Yeah,
so I only ate 8 till 4.
Yeah.
Because I'm starving in the morning, so I wanted something to eat.
I have not got that discipline.
Haven't you?
No. I would be a nightmare on that.
See, some people though, it suits them really well because a lot of people, actually aren't asked about breakfast, are they? They don't want to eat breakfast, they're not bothered about it. Yeah. So if you're someone that's not, an easy way for you to cut calories through the day is to just by cut it out. Okay, so fine, just put a fancy name on it and say you're doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just have to make sure that you follow the rules to it a little bit more, and it's less flexible in that. So on you, if you do it for 5 days, for example, and then just fast on 2 days, well, that makes it a bit more lenient in terms of like being able to go for a drink or go for a meal. But on your intermittent fasting days, you have to make sure you're planning it ahead in terms of like your window of eating. So if you know tomorrow I want to go out for a meal, go out for a drink, you're going to have to shift that window of eating to allow for you to have that time, which might mean that you're fasting for up to like 20, 22 hours. Is that realistic for you? Are you going to get lightheaded? Are you going to feel a bit unwell? Are you going to be an absolute crank? There you go. So there's pros and cons to both of it. I would say if you're on a bit of a mission, you're not as bothered about like the social aspect, for now it might work great for you. But if you're someone who likes going out for meals and going out for drinks and stuff like that, like most of us do, I don't know if it'd be for you.
Verdict on that one. It's for you, but it's not for me. Harriet's done the revision this week, so she gave me the shit ones. I've got the raw food diet.
What is a raw food diet, babe?
This involves mainly unprocessed, whole, plant-based, and preferably...
Profiteroles.
And preferably organic foods. 3/4 of the diet should consist of uncooked food. These have a few benefits. Well, quite a few benefits, actually. What they're saying is if you have a high raw food diet, it's meant to promote more energy, better skin, reduce the likes of cholesterol. With a raw food diet, studies actually have shown that the body is better able to prevent and fight chronic diseases.
Yeah, there's loads of links to it, and like loads of people claiming that it's amazing for like cancer fighting properties stuff like that.
But the reason could be because I was reading up and it says a lot of vitamins reduce out of the food when you cook it. So that's why you have it raw and uncooked, preferably, because like water-soluble vitamin B and C are destroyed or reduced massively by cooking over a certain temperature. So if you eat these foods, then they're going to be higher in the vitamin B and C, which is obviously why it's then going to help you be healthier and fight off certain kinds of illnesses, I suppose.
So you'd stick to like basically a diet of like fruit and veg?
Fruit and veg, all raw, all organic, unprocessed. Sounds very expensive as well, if you ask me.
Yeah.
If you look at it, I know it's bad, but raw food is expensive to be buying in bulk.
It's giving me an upset stomach thinking about all that raw food.
See, no, do you know what, right? It doesn't give me that. Makes me feel like really clean, but I just couldn't be arsed.
You love a bit of toxins, don't you, my man?
Retox, don't detox. Dietitians have said be careful of certain foods. So the likes of buckwheat, kidney beans, etc. They're really high in toxins if consumed to high volumes. So even though you think you're being really healthy, if you're overindulging something, you could be actually doing the opposite to your body than you thought. Again, like I said, it's expensive. Being social, if you're eating a raw food diet and you want to go out with your mates or something to eat,
how are you going to do it?
Well, your mate's going to hate you and not want to be with you anymore.
Where'd you go for your tea?
You haven't got mates. And again, it's going to require, I think, massive discipline. So
I think anyone with that much discipline, one, probably wouldn't listen to this podcast. And
or like a serial killer.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say raw food diet. If you are a crank with food...
God, that sounds made for you. You're a crank.
Just for the record, Richie's just given me the worst egg and cress butty in my life.
And it wasn't raw.
Just egg and cress, not even a bit of mayo.
Was there no mayo on it?
No, it's just egg and cress. It says just egg and cress on it.
Just.
Yeah, I would say raw food diet-wise.
It's a no for me.
It's a no from me, babe.
We've got the keto diet. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, my mate Grace is on it at the moment.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, but she had a glass of wine last night.
That sounds right. Well, let's just talk about the keto diet and let's see if... Who was it? Grace?
Yeah.
Let's see if Grace is sticking to it. So the keto diet is very low carb, high fat, and shares many similarities with the Atkins and low carb diets. So it involves drastically reducing carbs, replacing it with fat, This reduction in carbs puts your body into a metabolic state called ketosis. When this happens, your body becomes incredibly efficient at burning fat for energy. It also turns fat into ketones in the liver, which can supply energy to the brain. Ketogenic diets can cause massive reductions in blood sugar and insulin levels. This, along with the increased ketones, has numerous health benefits. So that wine sounds like that's in. Does that sound like it fits in, Grace? Grace, diet going well, babe? Is it?
By the time this episode airs, Grace will be well off that diet. So it's dead similar to Atkins, like years ago when all our mums did Atkins and they were eating like a packet of ham for the breakfast. That was like a big craze, wasn't it? I remember walking into the kitchen and my grandma Jean was eating a packet of ham.
Well,
I was
like, what are you doing? Your standard keto diet is 75% fat, 20% protein and only 5% carbs.
It's a lot of fat, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
Because I can't get my head around this one, though, so I don't know anything about the keto diet, if I'm honest.
You've never done, really low carb, have you?
No, but we know 1 gram of fat is 9 calories, where 1 gram of protein or carbs is 4. Again, there's no way you can go over your calories and lose weight. You've got to still stay in a deficit. But then, if you're eating a tub of peanut butter and taking in like 40, it's got to be, you've still got to track your calories. I'm sorry, there's no way you can keto and go over and still lose weight.
I think that's what the actual thing is. Obviously, you're cutting out an entire food group. So the 3 main food groups, you've got protein, fat, carb. If you're cutting out one of them, the chances are you're probably going to lose weight. But one of the biggest things with keto, it talks about like this massive drop in your blood sugar and then your body goes into this ketosis and it all sounds really positive and it's like, oh my God, then your body burns fat out efficiently. Your journey to get there, your road to get there is absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
It's so hard on your body.
And wait, they're not just like your breath is going to stink.
Oh my God, it stinks. I don't even know, like, I couldn't even describe the smell. Well, I did really low carb for a while. I would say probably lasted about 10 days before I had a nervous breakdown. And it was totally pointless. And Luke wouldn't kiss me because my breath, I mean, that was his excuse of the week, like, but my breath was that bad. And I'd be lying in bed and I'd just brush my teeth and he was going to me, have you brushed your teeth? And I was like, oh my God.
Is that what he'd say to you? Yeah. Ruth? Ruth is who we work with in Rise. Why did I have Ruth? Luke, you're ruthless. I was meant to say, not Ruth, you're Lukeless. So anyway, side effects to it. Talking about your bad breath. Have you heard of keto flu?
Will you feel like you're coming down with something?
Yeah, so really poor energy, mental function, increased hunger, sleep issues, nausea, digestive discomfort, decrease in exercise performance.
You can't do anything. You've got no energy for the gym. You can't train. You feel like crap. You feel like you've got the flu. You're going to definitely be in the worst mood. Is it worth it?
Is it? Well, they say after 3 or 4 days, that all turns round. It's just the beginning process, isn't it? I can't do that. I'm still searching through here for benefits. And funny enough, there are no fucking benefits. No, I don't know. I just can't be arse reading any further down.
Benefits of it.
Oh, wait there. My urine smells fruity. Why is this? Don't be alarmed. This is simply due to the excretion of byproducts created during ketosis.
Fruity. Okay, we're going to go from one extreme to the other now. So another slightly more common one at the moment is the sugar-free diet.
The what free?
Sugar-free. Basically,
I think I was eating. No. I couldn't eat it over my chewing.
You weren't eating them? You were just eating the scraps out the box?
I was just licking the table.
So a sugar-free diet is to avoid most, if not all, types of sugar. So you're going to cut out anything like fizzy drinks, cereal, biscuits, chocolate, and most importantly, booze.
Well, most importantly, everyone's just switched off.
Some people even cut out all carbs as well. Sugar-free diet is a bit of a strange one because at the moment you can get loads of sugar-free alternatives. But what the professionals are saying now is that actually sugar-free or is it just one type of sugar-free? Because there's different types of sugars.
Yeah, and unless you clued up on your labels, my God, there's so many. words you wouldn't even know on the back that.
Yeah, and so many of the chemicals, alternatives that they're putting in them to sweeten it up, is that actually worse for you? So to a lot of people now, something to go sugar-free, if you're someone that is addicted to sugar, so that might not necessarily be like addicted to sweets or addicted to chocolate, but if it's something where you like constantly grabbing crisps and you want those fast-acting sugars, that fast energy, is it something that you might need more control over? Do you know what I mean? Like they're saying, okay, it's great because the levels of obesity in the country, especially in teenagers and especially in kids, is shooting up. Are we feeding our kids shit all the time? But then the cons are, it's so difficult to go totally sugar-free. And also,
have you ever tried to do it? I tried to cut out sugar. I had a headache and everything. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, they say you can get like blurred vision, fainting. Like to
plus the hours we work as well. I know it sounds bad. I do rely on sugar in my coffee to give me a little boost. Do you know what I mean?
But it's even things like milk. You'd have to cut out milk. You'd have to cut out like cheese and stuff like that because these sugars are all in this. So like, without realizing a sugar-free diet, are you actually going to just eating fruit, veg, and meat? Do you need to go that extreme to cut out all sugars? But then some people say, do you know what? Loads of people say, I have to be all or nothing. But then are you part of that culture of binge?
But again, that's it. You're all or nothing. It's not going to be sustainable because you say, if you were all or nothing, why aren't you still on the all now?
Yeah.
If you're searching for something.
Because it's too hard. That's why.
Because you can't keep it up. So you have a quick fix. Next minute, you fall off the wagon. You're in a worse situation than before.
There's loads of like other things that are linked to a sugar-free diet. So, you know, after a while, you might feel amazing, but the first, especially like your first week, you're going to be so cranky, your skin can break out, things like that. I wouldn't say we're not promoting keeping loads of sugar in your diet and loads of crap, but what I'd say is don't go cutting out all different types of fruit and stuff like that. Like, get your natural sugars in. And if you need that little bit to get you through the day to stop you getting to Friday and binging, then do it. I wouldn't recommend a sugar-free diet, would you?
No, do you know what? I just find them all really extreme. And I'm like, we just need to learn, like everything in life, it requires work. You don't just get what you want when you want it.
No.
So it's about training yourself to go, okay, I know I can't have a full pizza and then a full bottle of wine, so I'll have half and I'll have two glasses and I'm in my calories and I can still enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? People are too busy leaving everything to last minute, going, I've got a holiday in 6 weeks, I need to lose 6 stone. Instead of just trying to have a lifestyle change, which you hate hearing, but it's true.
Yeah, I would say like maybe
balance
eat
what
to
you
make
need.
Yourself happy right now, than eat to make yourself what you think is going to be happy in the future. If you know yesterday that you ate a massive chocolate bar, a packet of crisps, you had like loads of wine, whatever you had, and that made you feel terrible, then okay, don't do it. There you go. Do it today and you'll feel better now.
Do you know my client Natalie Owens? Oh, or Natalie, shall I just say? Natalie and Claire.
Natalie Owens. What's her address as well?
Oh, she is single. So go on my Instagram, look for Miss Owens. Any men out there, we'll set her up. She's really hot as well, got a great body. But right, so we weighed her last night before we went out for something to eat and a glass of wine.
I was going to say, didn't you go out for a meal?
But it was for me 40th. She took me out to the blatant 40th.
I thought you meant the weighing was for your 40th.
No. So anyway, she got on the scales and she was like, why am I the same as last week? I've been dead good, blah, blah, blah.
She's tiny.
She is tiny. And she's kicking off saying she's not in great shape when she is. But anyway, we get through the session, blah, blah, blah. And then we go for something to eat. And then she goes, oh, when I was in there on Saturday night, I had a full tub of Pringles and a couple of beers. So half an hour ago, she was questioning why she hadn't lost any weight. Luckily enough, she had stayed the same. It was 1,100 calories and a full tube of Pringles.
No, it's not.
So she probably had about 1,500 calories in half an hour, sitting on the couch with a couple of beers and Pringles.
I can't believe that.
And she's going to be good all week. And then that hour of going through the wall.
Doesn't even touch the size of a tub of Pringles.
And then I just looked at her and I went, are you actually messing me? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, you've just been in there kicking off. Why you haven't lost weight and you're talking about eating a full tub of Pringles?
Sometimes we get a bit of like memory loss through the week. And
oh, that's the sugar, babe. That's the sugar. Stop eating sugar. You'll get your memory back.
Like, you think, yeah, I've been unreal. I've done this, that and the other. But have you gone into the kitchen and while you're waiting for that?
Because people don't
want
to listen to what people don't want to listen to. You're the one in control. It's down to you. People go, this is really difficult, and try and make, because do you know what? People aren't prepared to go, I have to cut back.
Yeah. You get it loads, like when you measure clients and stuff like that. And like, I think everyone does it to themselves. You victimize yourself before accepting that you're actually an adult and you've made that decision. It is entirely your fault.
Yeah.
If fault is the right word, you know what, but it is your own fault.
We've done this thing, we were looking at it. So since like 1900 till now, if you look at the obesity rate, it's crept up and crept up. And there's only been twice over the past how many, whatever, since 1900, twice where there's been a dip in obesity. And that was when there was a war and we had rations. First World War, Second World War. And that just shows it is down to greed, overeating, indulgence. Do you know what I mean? Because as soon as we were rationed and no one had food, the obesity rate stopped going up. So it's not down to cutting out sugar. It's not down to having to do raw foods. It's not down to doing the whatever it is. It's down to portion control.
Yeah.
And like we've said to everyone from day one, you have so much energy in, so much energy out. You go over it, you're going to put weight on. You go under it, you're not going to. Two world wars, no one had fucking food to eat. You haven't got enough food to go over your calories, so you're going to lose weight. And that's why everyone's smaller then.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're spoilt. And also, you're spoilt. And as well as being spoilt, people are too sensitive sometimes to a degree. Mental health is a massive, massive thing, and people are so much more aware of it, and people are so much more caring and considerate, and I think it's amazing. But I do also think, if we're totally honest, like, sometimes we use it as an escape. Now, there are people with actual, you know, mental health issues, and does everyone have certain things? I don't know, that's another discussion, isn't it? But I know that I've done it before, like, I've, say, come on my periods, and I've gone, oh, I'm dead anxious because I'm going to come on, or I'm dead stressed out because I'm going to come on. I'm not. I'm using it as an excuse because I'm allowing myself to act in that way.
No, I know exactly. Do you know what? It's quite, because I agree with what you're saying, and it is really taboo because it's so promote mental health at the minute. And I don't even want to say what I was going to say because I don't know if it should be, but I do think a lot of people hide behind it. Most of them come back from Glastonbury after they've been away for 5 days. Suddenly they're depressed. No, you're just going out all the time on a come down now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think you need to sometimes consider, is there actually a problem or are you creating one?
Yeah. Do you know what? I do think a lot of food issues stems from past experiences. So I have a friend who I won't name. When she was growing up, she was made to fast by her mum. Which obviously for a young kid to be told to fast and be dead aware of a waiting mum. And then a mum passed away. And when a mum passed away, a dad was getting a McDonald's a treat. So from a young age, before she was 11, she's been taught to fast. She's then been getting treated with McDonald's. She's lost her mum. Next minute, she's searching for love. What does she... The food's now... Do you know what I mean? So you become using foods as crutches to get you through life. And associate how it makes you feel when you're feeling crap. And then you have that little pick up.
Yeah, is it something that you as a person need to maybe sit down and have a little think about properly? Is it just a diet to you, or is it another method of control, or are you like punishing yourself, or are you rewarding yourself? Are you using food where really maybe instead of investing all this money into a food prep or something like that, you could turn around and see someone once a week for an hour, which I've done in the past. I'd turn around and say 1,000,000%, it was the best thing I ever did.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, and it was the best thing I ever did. Not about food, just in general, just because I felt so anxious. And I promote that to everybody because it was the best thing. It was afterwards, I just felt so clear-headed.
Yeah.
And all those like little behaviours that you don't even know you're doing them at the time, but sometimes I'd have a bad day or I'd feel stressed out about something, and I would go straight for a pick and mix aisle. Like, I would drive there and get it and, like, binge these sweets and then be erratic all week. And, like, and it was just, it was all about, like...
Just chasing a cycle.
Emotionally manipulating myself. It was so strange. And now, I haven't done it since.
And what did they do? How did they, like...
It was just literally sitting on a chair.
What did you do to then get to that point?
I think I was just really, really honest. And when I spoke to the woman. It was just me and her in a room.
So you're at home. Like, what made you go, shit, I need to pick the phone up now or get online? And
do you know what? It wasn't me. It was Luke.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. He just texted me one day and was like, I think you should go and speak to someone because you're getting... Because I was anxious all the time. Like, all the time. But I didn't realise I was. I think I was just so far into it. And also, I'm quite matter-of-fact, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
I've
got
no time for that.
You are really matter-of-fact, yeah. So that's what...
And I think he saw me. I was very, at the time, because I was getting married as well, and that is so easy to fall into, I was so controlled with my food.
Yeah.
And then I was binging. So I was in that whole pattern, and then also it was mood swings. I wouldn't say I was starving myself, but I was too low for me.
Yeah.
To be able to cope on. And then... I was a crank. I was just a crank. And I think he probably thought, fucking hell, before I put a ring on that.
From Luke saying that to then, how did you go into a process of finding someone to speak to? And then how long did that
take? He found it.
He
did it all for me. But just Google, like, counselling service or cognitive behaviour or whatever it is in your area. And it's the best money I ever spent.
And then how long did it take you to get in to see her? Was it a she, I'm guessing?
She was a she. The next week.
Wow.
But the first time I was absolutely terrified. But I think it's so common with girls.
I was going to say, I'd be dead. The thought of going in and talking to someone about you, that makes me anxious, just the thought of that.
I know, and it was. It was the scariest thing I think I've ever done in my life.
Is it like in America when you're lying on a couch and they've got the lamp and they're sat there with the little clipboard looking at you with the little tweet cardi on?
It like smelt a bit musty in there and I was dying for a wee after about 10 minutes. So like really? I got a bit distracted. But it was good. And I would say if I hadn't have done that, gaining weight through pregnancy and watching my body change so dramatically, I don't think I would have been able to cope with it as well.
And do you know what? I think it's the best advice to give someone because I think we train hundreds of people and have trained hundreds of people. And everyone who I know has been and identified has gone, I need to speak to someone to get some weight off my shoulders or...
I think once you get the weight off your shoulders, you can get the weight off anywhere else.
But once they've got, it frees up and the next minute they're training better, they're eating better, they've got more clarity, you know. Sometimes it's good just to offload.
Yeah. Mental health is mental wealth, babe.
Well, we didn't even intend to go onto the mental health road on this, did we?
No.
How the hell did that happen? Dun, dun, dun. It's question time. So... Fighter Girl 89 on Instagram as
I would have preferred that if she was Fighter Girl 69. That was really cruel.
Right, quick question for the podcast. I love the gym, happy to go and smash out a HIIT workout, boxing, kettlebells, etc. But food is where I let myself down. Do you have any tips to avoid binging on biscuits, tasty go-to snacks, or recipes for quick and easy breakfasts? Thanks for the podcast. I'm absolutely loving it.
I think if you're binging, then you're not eating enough calories during mealtime probably because if then you feel the need, you're not satisfied by your food, you will binge. So maybe check how many calories you're eating through the day.
Again, like how much protein are you having? Like there could be loads of things here, isn't it? So how much protein... That generally keeps you fuller for longer, doesn't it? And
Are you drinking enough water?
Yeah.
Especially if you're working out that much.
Like, Fighter Girl, to get one thing straight here. Everyone has this problem. Everyone likes, isn't it? That's the our number one question we have. I'd say you want to be having a gram of protein, a pound of weight. That means that takes longer to break down in your body, keeps you fuller for longer. Do you know what? Are you eating the right calories, babe? Are you training that much? You're saying you're happy to work out. Have you got your calories worked out right for how much training you're doing?
Yeah, don't underestimate it too much. Sometimes people work out the calories and they say, okay, so loads of people work out on MyFitnessPal as well, where they put it in, okay, I want to lose £2 a week. And then when they're tracking, like, is that realistic? Like £2 a week is a lot to be in a deficit by. And also then... Are you training on top of that? Like, it sounds to me like your calories are too low.
And babe, if you'd listened in the past, like you said you have, you'd have heard.
You would have heard.
Listen here, you. You'd have heard the Gym Beard's tip for a 501 bar and some Halo top as a nice little low calorie dessert.
Yeah. Half a tub of Halo and a 501.
Isn't
250
it?
Babes.
Yeah. You can Google all kinds of healthy breakfast options, can't you? You've got to find not one shoe. I can't recommend to you because, do you know what? One shoe doesn't fit all. You've got to find what you enjoy eating, have it in moderation, keep it within your calories, and everything else to fall into place.
I try and do like two mini breakfasts. So I do like a carby breakfast, and then I do like a protein and fat breakfast. So I'll do like maybe a pot of Oats So Simple, or like a pot of plain porridge with some sugar-free syrup or calorie-free syrup. And then I might have a little bit later on, it's like some scrambled eggs, spinach. And if I fancy it, a piece of toast. It depends, as long as that's in with your calories. Yeah. So maybe split your breakfast up into two mini breakfasts and do like, you know, your fast acting one when you feel like you want that fast acting energy. So that'd be your carby one, and then go for your fats.
I don't know if I spoke about this in the past as well. Like certain things in your routine. Sorry, I think our producer's telling me to hurry up because we're on a time limit and she's snarling me.
She's snarling.
But anyway, I'm going to finish what I'm saying. So I wouldn't fill my car up all week. So I'd put a fiver in here and there all the time. And then every time I go to the petrol station, I'd get a Kit Kat Chunky. Because I go, oh, it's only a Kit Kat Chunky. It's the healthiest option there.
It's the healthiest option. Yeah, it says it in the name, Chunky.
It's got hardly any chocolate though. It's chunky with wafer. So anyway, by the end of the week, I had to fill my car up four times. I had four Kit Kat Chunkies. Where now, I go to Asda, where there's no kiosk to go in, fill up for the week, and then I can't stop off and have four bars of chocolate a week because I've removed that out of my life. The same as if you can't be tempted to have a jar of peanut butter in your cupboards because you're going to go to it each night and snack on it, don't buy it. I'm sorry, you go, oh yeah, but I like it. Yeah, but do you know what? You might like it, but it's making you overweight, babe. So don't buy it. If you haven't got it in, if you can't see it, you can't have it. Until you're trusted, cut it out.
Okay, so we've got a message of someone who wants to stay anonymous. So, anonymous. I am the heaviest I have ever been at the age of 18. I'm bigger than my mum and I go to the gym 2 to 3 times a week. But I also feel so self-conscious about my body, and at the gym I get really low and I've had several panic attacks at the gym because I lose motivation because of it. I need to change my mindset and I don't know how. If you use this on the podcast, please don't say my name. Do you want to come and live in ours? Babe, you are 18. You are 18. Give yourself a break. Allow yourself time to learn. Richie's 106 now and he's only just learned.
Well, you were your dad. He's saying about me eating Mackies and chain smoking, didn't you, in the first one?
Exactly. And I used to before, well, I mean, not my weight right now because I am preg, but pre-preg. You know, I was 4 or 5 stone heavier. I think when you're at that age, sometimes it's when you start to learn your body and learn how all these changes are going to happen and learn what suits you. When you get a teenager, you especially in your late teens, when you've got money, your own money, and your mates are going out all the time, you're having loads of booze all the time, loads of fast foods all the time. What I would say is just start to cut the little bits out. If you are overweight or you feel you are bigger, it's not how many times you're going to the gym that is doing that. So if the gym's making you anxious, only go when it's going to make you feel better, or if it is making you feel better, but don't put pressure on yourself to go. Take the negative connotation away from it and like give yourself a little bit of a break. And when you go into the kitchen, stop yourself, have a drink, take a breath and think, am I actually hungry, or am I doing this out of habit, or am I letting my emotions push me to a cupboard that I'm not actually bothered about?
Do you know what? I have similar advice, I'd say, but I just think you need to start being really kind to yourself for one. You're still young, you're still learning, like Harriet said. You feel self-conscious in the gym, but you know what, babe? We spoke on another episode, you're not sat in McDonald's or the Chippy, you're in the gym. You're trying to change your life. You get one life, that's it. So you need to start being kind to yourself. If you're struggling to lose the weight, I'd say maybe increase how much exercise you can do. Or if you can't get to the gym more than 2 or 3 times a day, increase how many
steps. 2 or 3 times a day?
Sorry, 2 or 3 times a week. Increase how many steps you get in a day.
Yeah, definitely.
So try and get your basic things like taking the stairs in work or walking to the train station instead of driving. Or just trying to get at least 10,000 steps a day. I've got a tip as well. If you can have like an accountability person, maybe your mum or a friend or someone who's going to support you. I always find it really helpful for people to photo everything they eat, because obviously you're overweight and you feel self-conscious about it. There are going to be times we can't deny that you are overeating. That's how you've got here. So we now need to change that. If you can photo everything you eat and send it over to someone, then every time you go to photo, it's going to make you go, do I really want this? Is it? I don't. You mightn't agree with me on this. People have different, but I just find that really helps.
Yeah, different then, strokes for different folks. Yeah.
And then if you're being accountable for everything, you start tracking it. Get MyFitnessPal, start tracking your calories at a deficit. We've given you how to work it out to lose one, two, whatever pounds a week, isn't it?
Mm.
But babe, like, we're not here long enough to be feeling like this and having panic attacks and having, like, feeling so much self-hatred. Do it for you because you're worth it, and do it because you live once, and do it because you need to make memories and be happy. Just give us another message if you need a little bit more advice.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.